Before we go to God's word, would you pray with me? Oh, gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we gather before you on this Christmas Eve, Lord, we ask that you would help us even now to worship at your footstool, to glorify and honor you, Lord, as we come to something familiar and beloved. Lord, may we come again seeking Christ and his gospel. Lord, would you show us your truth and your word, even this evening, that we might know you more deeply, that we might follow you more humbly, and walk closer with you. Oh, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been seeing previews for it, and since we have the time, and since we have ability to have our younger kids being watched, my family, the older kids, and Nikki and I, we're going to go see Into the Woods this weekend. We're very excited to see that. I'm a little hesitant, though, because I'm a big fan of live stage musicals, love musicals. But the movie musicals, I'm a little uncomfortable with those, you know, because movie musicals sometimes can be very awkward, can't they? I mean, sometimes the songs can feel kind of forced. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have never in my life had someone mid-sentence break into song, like ever. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, because that'd be a little awkward, right? That'd be weird. Well, guess what? In our text that we're going to look at tonight, that's exactly what happens. Mid-service there at the church, so to speak, some guy breaks out in song, and it's a little weird and awkward. So with that background, let's look together what you thought was a familiar passage, a familiar story, Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 33. This is God's word. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And so his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. This is God's word. So what we're going to do tonight, instead of doing the familiar stories of Jesus' birth, we're actually after all of that. The shepherds have gone. The angels have gone. Here's Jesus and his family in the temple in Jerusalem. The wise men have not yet come, I believe. And so what they're doing is they're dedicating him. Verse 27 tells us they're dedicating him according to the custom of the law. Every family had to do this with a firstborn son. Going all the way back to the Exodus. I know it's Christmas time, but try to put your Old Testament caps on. Do you remember the plagues on Egypt? You remember the 10th plague, the last plague, the final plague was when the angel of death was going through the land and God saved the lives of the firstborn through the Passover. Well, in those ancient cultures, when you saved someone's life, you owned them. They were yours. So God, from that point on, claimed ownership of all the firstborn in Israel, from sons to cattle. He said, "The firstborn is mine. I own it." And so when they were born, you would go to the temple and you would redeem your sons. You would redeem your most valuable animals. You would go and you would present a ransom for their life. You would take a sacrifice and buy them back, so to speak, from God. This is what they're doing. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are in the temple to do this ancient rite of worship, to purchase Jesus back from God, so to speak. And while they're there in the temple, also in the temple area is another guy. He was waiting for God's promise. He was on guard like a lookout, like a night watchman. He was waiting for this to happen. Now, I want you to get the feel for this guy, because, again, we read these things so sterilely because, you know, they're the Bible. They have to be very serious. But this is really a kind of humorous story. So I want you to get the feel for this. So I want you to get the idea of expectation. Like in my house, okay, with five children, we have been getting the Christmas excitement like times five. Well, times four, because the littlest one, he has no idea yet. But he will. Like, for instance, one of them has been giving us the countdown since Thanksgiving. Has anybody ever gotten the countdown? Dad, Dad, it's 20 days till Christmas. Dad, 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 it's 15 days till Christmas. Dad, Dad, I even got last night, it's 60 hours till Christmas. And I was like, you know, I'm not a calculator. I don't think that's right. Oh, then the other one hears this, someone even smaller hears this, and she's like, oh, I can't wait for Christmas. I just can't wait. I just can't wait, Daddy. And then there's the littlest one who overhears this and likes to say, is Kmas Hahamawo? No, Christmas is not tomorrow. Aw. Is Kmas Hamaro? No, Christmas is not tomorrow. Aw. And so there's this anticipation. There's this excitement. Everybody wants to be there. They're so excited for Christmas. And when a kid does it, it's cute. And when an adult does it, it's not so cute. It's kind of awkward. That's Simeon. He's godly. He's a faithful man. He believes God's word, but he's also a little off. He's the really excited guys that most churches have at least one. I'm not going to say who you are, but every church has at least one who's really excited and kind of a little off, and everybody's like, we don't know what this person's going to do at any given moment. He's always there at the infant dedications, watching, waiting, and he's just a little too excited to see the babies. Like he knows something they don't know. Again, I don't know if the adults are quite getting this. Boys and girls, you may need to help me here explain this to mom and dad. Because the best way that I see Simeon, and again, boys and girls, help me out here. You may have to tell your parents this later. Is I see Simeon in my mind kind of like SpongeBob SquarePants. I do. I see Simeon going, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. Very excited, kind of dorky, but still kind of cute. That's Simeon. He's really excited. He knows God's going to do something great. And so he's hoping, he's believing, he's waiting. And verse 26 tells us he's waiting for the Lord's Christ. Or as we see in verse 25, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of God's people. Well, what is that? Well, long, long ago, in Isaiah 40, God promised to send comfort to his hurting people. To his demoralized, defeated people, God promised to send them comfort, a real, tangible comfort they could grab onto. Simeon knows that will take place in his lifetime, and he's waiting for that ancient promise to come about. I want you to understand what consolation is, so picture this in your mind. It's the worst moment of someone's life. It has all come crashing down. And they are undone. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. So you just do what comes natural. You just wrap your arms around them. And they weep. They just sob into your chest. And you just hold on to them because you don't know what else to do. That's consolation. And when God says, I'm going to bring the consolation of Israel, that is what he's saying. Into your broken, hurt, undone life, I'm going to come and I'm just going to make it better. It's going to be okay. Simeon believes that is happening in his lifetime. And he's holding this baby. And he says, this is that consolation. This child. That biblical idea of just wrapping someone up and making it okay. God promises that. See, for Simeon, he recognizes Christmas, the incarnation. It's bigger than our whole world because Jesus Christ is that tangible consolation. Through Jesus Christ, you and I, in our most trying, desperate, difficult moments, we can feel God's arms embrace us. We can hear our Creator say, it's going to be okay. Because Jesus Christ has come to be the consolation of Israel. So anyway, back to our story. They bring Jesus to the temple. They're in the middle of this infant dedication thing, and as the priest is doing the stuff, all of a sudden, crazy, excited, Simeon Bob SquarePants runs up, and he grabs Jesus, and he starts singing. In the Greek text, it's clearly a song. It's not so much in English. He starts singing. And again, just like in your life, if someone starts singing in the middle of a conversation, it's awkward. And the people in the temple are like, this is weird. What's going on? But Simeon starts singing of his freedom. He doesn't care. He's hopeful. He's burdened. And he's just singing because God has brought relief in his burdened, defeated life. He sees Christ. And he's at peace. Oh, what burdens do you have that need to be lifted? What burdens do you have that Christ needs to come and do something about? You know what I mean. I mean, Christmas is a time of escaping for a lot of us, isn't it? You know, we use the joy of the season to run away from the problems and difficulties in life. Maybe it's the stress of a bunch of purchases you've made on a credit card the last month. Maybe it's that situation at work that's in the back of your mind that you got to take care of Friday morning first thing. Maybe it's the trouble with your family. It's going to come up tomorrow. You just know it and you're dreading it. We cover all that stuff up with the holiday joy, don't we? But it comes back and it steals our joy. Wouldn't you like to be free of that? That's why Simeon sings. He literally says in verse 29, not that I can depart in peace. Literally, he says, I have been released. What's he mean? He says in verse 30, he tells us, my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon is holding the infant God. He knows. He believes God will keep his promises. This child is going to set me and everybody else free from these burdens that weigh us down because God keeps his promises. So the whole world, Jews and Gentiles, will be set free by this child. How can he say such a thing? What does he mean? Well, again, remember why they were there. The firstborn had to be ransomed by a sacrifice. That practice looks back to the Exodus, but it also looked forward to the coming Redeemer, the Messiah, the Lord Christ, who would ransom all of God's people back from death and sin and sorrow. Holding baby Jesus, Simeon sees all that and he realizes it's true. Christ has come. We're going to be free. And to make sure we don't miss it, the text says it was revealed to him. This wasn't just his own creativity. The Holy Spirit revealed this truth to him. But guess what? What was unique for Simeon and an extra special blessing you and I have today in the rest of Scripture, it's been revealed to us that Jesus is the Christ who can set us free. God's Word teaches us that Christmas is amazing. It's bigger than our whole world because Jesus Christ, in order to ransom us back from death, in order to comfort and console us in our need, in order to set us free to rejoice in him, instead of being there to have a sacrifice offered for him, no, Jesus Christ would offer himself as the sacrifice to set us free, to bring us back from death. This baby in Simeon's arms, this child was born to die. He would live the life that we should live before a holy God. He would die the death that we should have died, and he would do so to ransom us back from death. And in his resurrection, he defeats death and he sets us free. And we too, like Simeon, can sing out, I've been released. Simeon did not understand all that, but he rejoiced at what he saw. And then Mary and Joseph, they marveled at what was being said about Jesus. Like, can you believe this? What I ask you tonight is that we are at a very familiar passage, a familiar evening. I ask you, do you marvel at Jesus? Do you marvel that the incarnate Son of God can release you from your burdens? Do you marvel that this little child is the one who will grow up and because of his work, he can comfort you in your heartaches and your difficulties? Do you marvel that he can embrace you and bring you into his family? Does that cause you to marvel? Because that truth is what Christmas is about. It's why Simeon's saying, because this child comes to release us, to set us free. And so, over the next day or so, as we rejoice in family, as we rejoice in the gifts we're going to share, that we give to each other, remember the incredible gift of Jesus Christ, given to ransom sinners like us, so we could rejoice, so we could be released and be back into God's family. Because that's what Christmas is about. That Jesus Christ came to save sinners and release them. So Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do confess that we get caught up in all the things of Christmas. Would you even now in this moment, would you still our hearts as we think about your sacrifice on the cross for us? That you were born that you might have flesh so that it could be broken to set us free. And Lord, as we prepare to come to your table to partake of your broken body and your shed blood, would you even now in these moments remind us of the truth that Christmas is wonderful and glorious because you came, but you came to set people free through your death and resurrection. And may we marvel at that, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you respond with me to God's word and prepare our hearts for communion as we sing together, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It's found on page 123 in your hymnals.